How do we get from the most expensive Scottish export of all time to the most expensive import into Scottish football ever?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers podcast with me, Josh, and Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Oh, we dealt with some heat this week. Oh, that'll timestamp this episode. It was a hot one. A hot summer's night.
Yeah.
Meatloaf.
As in unsleepable.
Do you know what? It was unsittable during the evening. I've got a fan in my room, which helped sleep, but downstairs, I didn't bother taking the fan downstairs when I was sat there watching TV of the evening. I was like, this is just not fun. It shouldn't be this temperature indoors. I'm fine with being that temperature outdoors. But when you're trying to make your house as cool as possible, and I failed in that.
Was it?
Wonder how long till air conditioning is a thing in the UK.
It's not widespread. It's not needed, yeah. It's not needed, is it?
Not yet. Oh, global warming though, Dave. It's going to be pretty soon.
Yeah, true. Very true. Was it hotter inside your house than outside? Is it one of those sort of scenarios? Because the house is insulated, right?
Yeah, house is insulated, yeah. And it's just made to be warm. It's got carpets and curtains and...
Yeah.
Made to be warm. Yes, for a while, and then eventually started raining in the evening, which was like, okay, we can breathe.
Good. I'm glad for that weather update. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you very much. Right, but we're here to talk about football, but it's 59 years since...
The Great Train Robbery.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it in one. Yes, The Great Train Robbery. Now, it's one of those things, it's almost like myth legend, I know of it. It's not something that's really grabbed my attention previously, but we thought, this is quite a nice little theme. The train was going between two places which have football teams. It was a lot of money. Back in the day, it was 2.6 million. Today's money, that's almost 60 million.
I mean, can't quite afford Harry Maguire.
No, you couldn't. But I'd be interested in robbing something if I was going to get 60 million, though.
Yeah?
That's piquing my interest.
If I gave... Because they got... Right, so I've... weirdly, Josh, I've done the research for this episode today, ahead of you. So
books,
if I gave you the option and said, right, you could walk away with 60 million pounds,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. you could walk away with 30 years in prison, which is what they got, in a risk-benefit analysis... Is that something you're like, oh, that's not a complete no?
Have you got any kind of percentage possibilities here? Is it like a 1% chance of jail, a 99% chance of my millions, or is it 50-50?
Well, I mean, they actually went to jail, so I guess your chances are, if you're following the story, it's 100%. But I think they spent quite a lot of the money because it was never found. So
yeah, okay. The question would be then, if you could spend the next 30 years of your life with 60 million pounds to spend, like, to, you know, do what you want, but after that, you've got to go to jail, would you?
Oh, so you're saying you get 30 years to spend it all and then 30 years in jail? Oh.
Could you enjoy those millions? Nang, oh God. Jail's going to be tough.
You would surely invest so much of it into trying to escape the jail sit bit of it.
No, there's no way out of that. That is a dead cert.
That means you would die in jail, given our age, wouldn't it? It would, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? That would be depressing. That would be really depressing. I'd say no on that aspect, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't think I could enjoy the next 30 years knowing, but I just have sleepless nights going, oh God, oh God.
Yeah, but imagine the party on the 29th year after 364 days, just before you're about to get carted away to jail.
I think I'd probably just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, yeah, I know, right.
Do the bad thing.
So, right, what are we talking about? The Great Train Robbery, yeah.
How have we moved that into football?
Right, the Great Train Robbery, right.
The grain train, woo! That's not good for me, that's probably got gluten on it.
Oh, right. The Great Train Robbery was travelling... from Glasgow to London. So that's what we've gone for. Two players that have gone Glasgow to London and then returned London to Glasgow.
Yeah, and also with loads of money being exchanged.
Yes, it's a big, big export and import.
Well, I don't think any of them were robberies. I think they both have fair value.
I would argue one of, I'm not sure about one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would argue I'm not sure about the first player. I don't think he's had... well, let's talk about it, Josh. It's your player.
Okay. Kieran Tierney.
Yeah.
He born in the Isle of Man.
Okay.
Quite unique. Nice.
Yeah.
But very soon, like 10 months old, moved to mainland Scotland. So it's not like he was discovered on the Isle of Man. Went to primary school with... Now, it says here, with footballing twins. Okay. Have you ever heard of these two players, Nicky and Chris Cadden?
No.
No. Okay. They are footballing twins. They both had careers up in Scotland, but I was like, oh, footballing... Nope, never heard of these guys. They were in a year above, so I bet that was a good little primary school team I had there.
Yeah, lovely.
He supported Celtic as a child and joined their academy at age 7. 10 years later, made his non-competitive debut versus Spurs, actually, in a pre-season friendly. And then during that following season, made his competitive debut, appearing a couple of times in the 14-15 season. It all really then kicked off after that. So still a young age, 15-16 season. So he's still, what, kind of 18, I think he is. And it just doesn't look back. He has 4 seasons at Celtic. He wins the league in every year, along with 4 cups. He won the PFA Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year in the first 3 years. Won the Celtic Young Player of the Year first 3 years. In the Team of the Year for the league first 3 years. Played in the Champions League. Along with being named in the Breakthrough 11 in 2017. I didn't know this was a thing.
No.
Breakthrough 11?
It's very American, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, we've seen it. We saw it with the comeback 11
in last
week's episode, didn't we?
We did, yeah, we did.
I think what you were alluding to up front there is that he did also have 2 long layoffs for a variety of injuries. Both of the 2 layoffs he had, which are mentioned, were for double injuries. So had ankle ligament, but then also repaired a shoulder, had a hip injury, but also repaired a hernia.
It's like a buy one, get one free.
Yeah, basically it's like, well, whilst we're at it, boys, can you have a look at this? Yeah. don't worry about this. Worry about this lump on my stomach here.
Great quote. Great friend's quote.
And Matt's final injury, that hip and hernia, was at the end of the 18-19 season, and he transfers to Arsenal in the 19-20 season for £25 million. And that hernia, I think the issue, was the one that dragged over into the start of the season with Arsenal. So he didn't actually make his debut until late September. And even then, he would still miss the latter part of the season with a dislocated shoulder, which he suffered against West Ham, but he would recover. And he would play in Arsenal's FA Cup win against Chelsea. Was that the FA Cup 2 matches where Aubameyang would just suddenly come to life in the semi-final and final?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He'd be like, you know what, I'm going to win this for you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, Arsenal, you look at it and go, he's been there 3 years and he's made 64 league appearances. So that's what, just under 22 appearances a season. That's just over half. 19 games is half. He's playing half a season each time, really, isn't he?
And that's why I'm not sure if it's... I mean, I do think... Was it 25 million? I think they paid for him in total, including add-ons and stuff. But I think it was a decent... It's a decent transfer if they can get the game time out of him. And that, I mean, he played 15 appearances in his first season for Arsenal, 27 in his second, and then 22 in his third. So... He needs to have more seasons like that second season.
Yeah, but you look at it with Celtic as well, 23, 24, 32, 21. It's not appearing every game, is he?
No, he's not. And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you can take into a fact that Arsenal 1 is 38, the second season at Arsenal, 2020, 2021, is 38 games in all competitions. But
yeah, because they were in Europe that season. They weren't in Europe last year, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not played in Champions League since he left Celtic, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He played in the Europa League, wouldn't he? For Scotland, obviously, we've mentioned he played at such a young age in the Celtic side. That's transferred into Scotland national team because he went from under-18s, under-19s, straight to the senior team. No, see you later, under-21s, not appearing there. He's made 32 appearances, just the 1 goal against Poland, scored at Hampden Park in a friendly. And yeah, it's obviously that issue that Scotland have with their 2 best players both being left backs.
Yeah,
it's always a bit unfortunate.
I was going to ask, like, I don't really watch much of Scotland. Do they have like Robertson at left mid and Tierney at left centre back, or left back, or is it left centre back and left wing back?
So I think Tierney's definitely got more versatility, I'd say. So he's actually played at right back for Scotland a number of times. But yeah, it's three at the back, left centre back, I think is what normally happens with Robertson, left wing back. Mm. But you've got to be gutted as a generation to have him. Imagine if they were a true right back, true left back, that would be much, much more balanced, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really would. It's like when you have, well, I mean, Spain or Italy comes to mind when they just had so many good goalkeepers at the same time. Yeah. But, okay. So what's your take on Kieran Tierney? Do you think success? Can you class him a success at Arsenal so far?
No, I don't. I mean, it's very hard. He's an excellent player, I think. I mean, he's really good. He drives forward, puts a lovely ball in, but the best ability is availability. It really is. Like, you want someone there week in, week out. Especially with, you know, a back four, you want them there. You get that consistency. At the time of speaking, Arsenal have just signed Zinchenko. Again, a player who, not through injury, more through ability and rotation, just doesn't play much at Man City. Plays less than that games in a league season for Man City. So, I mean, he'll be used to it if they're going to interchange with two. But I think if, you know, Zinchenko can play more games, and then you are resigned to having Tierney as the second choice in that sense. But it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But you would have wanted more, wouldn't you? You'd want him to be playing, you know, 30-plus games, and especially as he's probably kind of captain material as well.
Yeah.
And then that hampers, that puts a bit of doubt over whether you can make him captain if he's only going to be on a pitch for like 50-60% of the time. You don't really want that, do you?
No, very true. Very, very true. What are you thinking of ways out to our next page? Anything catching your eye?
Nothing yet, but let's see what we have to get to.
All right. Well, we are getting to a person that went in the other direction, from London to Glasgow. Torre André Flo.
Oh.
Someone that I've always had a bit of a affinity towards, and I have no, it's one of those I don't know why. I just enjoyed him as a player when we were growing up a bit younger. Now 49 and a football coach. He's progressed from coaching, actually. He is now managing the team he started his football career at, which is nice, isn't it? Which is nice. Sogndal, I can't really pronounce that, to be honest. Back in Norway for him. But yeah, we'll all recognise him from his Chelsea stint. And it was after Chelsea he moved to Rangers from London to Glasgow. But some interesting things on his page. So yeah, first career, three clubs in Norway, Sogndal, Tromso and Brann. Chelsea bought him from Brann. 112 appearances for Chelsea, 34 goals in the league. Rangers then bought him into year 2000. 29 goals in 53 games for Rangers, which was
pretty
good. Then Sunderland took a punt back in the Premier League. 4 goals in 29. Not as good. Not as good there. Moved to Siena. Then Vålerenga, which is a name I can never pronounce. Then Leeds, MK Dons, and then bookended his career back at Sogndal when he became manager 10 years later after retiring for them. Had a career with Norway for the national team, 23 goals in 76 appearances, which was pretty good. I imagine it would have been Flo and Solskjaer up front at a time together. But interestingly, Josh, this is a sentence that caught my eye, basically. He's retired 3 times. That is a man that cannot get enough of the game.
So where have his comebacks come?
After a successful spell with Chelsea, he was sold to Rangers for £12 million, became the most expensive Norwegian player ever. Flo later had spells at Sunderland, Siena, Vålerenga and Leeds United before he announced his retirement in March 2008. He later made 2 comebacks, Milton Keynes Dons in November 2008 and the Norwegian club Sogndal in March 2011. In August 2012, he announced his retirement for the 3rd time. He then rejoined Chelsea as a member of the coaching staff. So he's actually came out of retirement to help his local team, it looks like, Sogndal, who gave him his career. Yeah, what do you remember of Torre André Flo in terms of like playing style and things like that before I read what is written
gangly
down?
Gangly.
Yeah, okay.
Reasonably quick, though. I think he driving runs, kind of gangly, like a bit of Paolo Wanchope
yeah.
in terms of that kind of long stride. Scoring a few long-range goals. I don't remember him being a force in the air. For being 6'4", yeah. I don't remember thinking, oh, look, he's winning everything in the air. I remember him more of a kind of, like, inside right position driving forward. It's how I
Okay.
I fondly remember him.
So, style of play on Wikipedia. Flo was a quick, tall, powerful, and physically strong striker who, in spite of his size, possessed good technique. So,
great feet for a big man.
Great feet for a, probably one of the original great feet for a big man, I'd argue. Probably. But yeah, overall, a pretty patchy career. He had a couple of good spells here and there. I think one season at Rangers, 25 goals in 46 games in all competitions is pretty impressive. Standout career in Chelsea. There's no real... They're all... He was very consistent at Chelsea. 11 goals in 34 league games, 10 goals in 30 league games, 10 goals in 34 league games, which was pretty decent, to be honest, doing pretty well. And then the goals just dropped off as soon as he started, you know, leaving. Well, basically, when he left Rangers, the goals dropped off. Didn't do well at Sunderland, didn't really do that well in Serie A, scoring 8 in 33 in all competitions for Siena. And then back to Norway, back to Leeds. Got relegated with Leeds. Got relegated, I think, as part of the MK.
To League One as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to League One, yeah. So, all in all, not a brilliant end to his career. Maybe he should have stayed retired, who knows. But, yeah, honours for Brann. He was a Tippeligaen runner-up, so the Norwegian First Division runner-up. Chelsea, he won the FA Cup in 99-2000, the League Cup in 97-98, the Charity Shield in the year 2000, the Cup UEFA Cup Winners Cup in 97-98, and the Super Cup in 1998 as well. And then with Rangers, the Scottish Cup in 01-02, and the Scottish League Cup in 01-02 as well. So a double cup, domestic cup double with Rangers.
Never won the league, which is surprising.
Never won the league. Well, this will be Celtic's
era. Playing in Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing in Scotland and playing in Norway. Never won the league. That's surprising me.
Yeah. Very true. I guess Chelsea would have been pre Abramovich.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not expecting Chelsea to win at that stage. They were a bit Tottenham-y at that time.
I mean, Chelsea did do very well in terms of money. They bought him for $300,000 and sold him for $12 million. So they definitely
still the
made...
most expensive transfer into Scotland, yeah. Which is amazing, of all the money that's gone in these days.
Wow, true. Very true. When he signed for Chelsea, his competition was Kasaragi, Pelagio Kasaragi, before he broke his leg and had to retire. And then after that, it was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank and Idiger Johnson. So he always had very good competition at Chelsea for a position up front, which was decent. Would you take Idiger Johnson, prime Idiger Johnson, or prime Tori André Flo in your team?
Idiger Johnson. Spurs had post-peak Idiger Johnson. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Which was quite nice. It's funny because we talked. There's a couple of Chelsea transfers have started this season. We had Mario Stanic last year, and now Tor-André Flo this week.
Very true. Yeah, very true. So, part of his personal life, he has set up the Tor-André Flo Academy to help young footballers in Norway, which is good. He's actually got another school in Berkshire as well. So it's a lot of a joint Norway-Berkshire plan. Which is good. It teaches children from ages 5 to 17 at schools, clubs and holiday camps. And Tor-André Flo does coach those sessions himself. Well, coaches some of those sessions himself.
Yeah, everybody there has got to be over 6'4". It's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Just gangly people.
The other personal life bit is really odd. So he's got a brother and a cousin that have both played football who are clickable links. I don't think we'll be getting in through them. And both been capped by Norway, but you never really... Havard Flo and Jostein Flo. He's got brothers, Kjell Roon Flo and Jarl Flo, who have played in the Norway First Division for Molde and Sognedal. and Kjell Roon's son, so his nephew, Ulrik Flo, has played for Sognedal in the league as well. So it's a real footballing family. A real footballing family. And apparently Tor-André Flo supports Birmingham, which is just the last sentence in there, which is odd.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. But yeah,
and a bit of I'm confused if it's linked or not. Is that he was born in Flo? He was born Flo. Hails from a village of Flo. Now, is that where the name comes from, or is that just coincidental, like me being called Josh Folkestone?
Maybe it is maybe your name would be Josh Cool Folkestone. Like his is Tor-André Flo because it's where he's from, but yeah, it doesn't mention it. It just says he was born there, and that was it. Really, there's no mention. Might have to give it a Google and see if it is a.
Okay, I've got some bad news for you.
Oh no,
we have used the Norway national football team already.
Okay,
So that is closed off as a way in for Tor Andrew Flo.
Brilliant. Okay.
So we used that in the Oscar Cardozo to Morton Gamps Pedersen episode.
Of course we did.
Everybody knew it before I said it. Now, let me just check. We have not used Rangers, okay? I'd say Rangers is a better bet than Chelsea.
Yeah, because it'll be the most expensive transfer, right? It'll still be listed.
It should be on the,
The other thing is, can we get to the Norwegian Football League?
Because I'm fine with that.
Because he's the manager, isn't he, at Sogndal?
Yeah. Now, Celtic have always had an array of nationalities in their squad, haven't they? And you feel like Scandinavia is quite good for getting a bargain. We both play Football Manager. Always a good place to pick up a bargain. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are those cheaper options in the Celtic side. But let's have a look back at Kieran Tierney's page and see what's catching our eye with ways out.
I mean, I'm interested in Nicky and Chris Cadden. Obviously. There's a link for the Lisbon Lions, which I assume is a young team that Celtic poach people from. There's loads that I could click on, Josh, but they're not sensible.
All or nothing Arsenal page. He's involved in the documentary, the docuseries.
No spoilers, it's not out yet.
Emilio Izaguirre, the Honduran left back he displaced. Might have some information there.
We have to be aware, we do have to go back in time as well. We do have to go back like 22 years to Flo's peak.
Very true.
Flo's peak at Chelsea and Rangers.
Well, there was a mention here, crowned the PFA Scotland Young Player of the Year for the second consecutive season, making him the first to achieve it since Craig Levein in 1986. That's a bit too far. Oh, there's actually a clickable link for the 2017 Scottish Cup final, which will be nice because that will have some older Scottish people in, no doubt. There's going to be, I mean, it's only 5 years ago, I'm aware of that, but
there'll
be some players near the tail end of their career. You can click on a player, maybe.
On that note, we could go to the 2015-16 Scotland Team of the Year, PFA Scottish Team of the Year.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Takes us back a little bit further, 2015. See if there's any older Scottishmen knocking around in that played in the 2000s. That would be a push.
Are you talking about in the award section?
Individual award section, yeah.
I'd say that's probably more likely to be the full award as well, isn't it? They're normally like a section of a page, so we'd probably get all the awards in that year.
Should we have a look at it?
Yeah, 15-16 PFA Scotland Team of the Year. External link number 76 reference, yes?
yes, that's the one, yeah. Excellent.
PFA Scotland Team of the Year. So, oh my goodness, this is all of time. This is the Scotland Team of the Year ever since.
Oh,
we're probably going to have him.
It is. It's probably just going to have Tori Andre Flo. We may have accidentally done this. Oh, no, it doesn't, Josh. It doesn't go back far enough. It goes back to 06-07.
And he was there.
He was there in 2001.
Yeah, 2000 to 2002. Okay.
Yeah.
So why has it changed? Did the Premier League change its guys? It was only instituted since the 06-07 season. Didn't actually exist before that.
There you go.
Always learning. So let's go to the season we actually clicked on.
Yeah.
15-16 season. We have players we just don't know.
No, I'm not having that. 15-16, we must know people here. Okay, Scott Bain, I don't know him. Shay Logan, I don't know him. Alim Ozturk, I don't know him. Andrew Davies, I don't know him. Kieran Tierney, I know him. Johnny Hayes, I don't know him. I do know Kenny McLean, he's played for Norwich. Graham Shinney, I know, I've signed him plenty of times on Football Manager. Don't know Kane Hemmings for Dundee. Do know Lee Griffiths. Don't know Greg Stewart.
Cool.
Excellent. I don't know where to go, Josh.
I won't try the League One Championship League. Let's have a look back at. Let's go back in time and have a look at Premier League ones from 06-07, for example. Artur Boric, obviously we know him from his time at Southampton as well. Stephen Whittaker. Did Stephen Whittaker also play at Norwich? Norwich seemed to have a bit of a Scotland link.
Yeah. Did Gary Caldwell play for Norwich? No, Wigan, wasn't it? Gary Caldwell.
Yes, he was Wigan, yeah. Russ Lanson, Steve McManus, Lee Naylor, Scott Brown, Barry Ferguson, Birmingham City, Shunsuke Nakamura, a man you'd want over free kicks, Stephen Naismith, Everton,
yep.
Chris Boyd, Sunderland?
Yeah, I think Chris Boyd's played a couple of teams in the Premier League.
Scott McDonald, Middlesbrough?
I'm not sure about Scott McDonald. Right.
We go to 0708. We got Handley. We got the five players named in the previous year. Carlos Queller at Aston Villa. Sasa Papac. Oh, that's a name I've not seen. Barry Robson. Aidan McGeady and Jan Venegor of Hessling. Did you know Aidan McGeady was actually born in Scotland and is Scottish? But there was a ban on Celtic players playing for the national team or something, or youth players playing for the team during his time. So he was like, oh, I still want to play international football. So he played for Republic of Ireland youth teams. But he really is just Scottish.
All right.
And you think of him as being properly Irish, but he's not.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, didn't know that at all. Carlos Cuellar is a name that jumps out at me there. Ex-Aston Villa as well.
Yes, I agree. Sasa Papac is probably the main one, though. We've got Rangers. We've got... I'm not even sure where he's going to be from. Is it like Romania?
Yes, I think. It's Romania.
Because how are we getting to... Or do we try and find a Norwegian?
Oh, whoa.
A quick scan down. Just going to quick scan for Norwegians.
But we can't use the Norwegian national team, right? So what would...
I feel like they might be like, hey, he's friends with Tor Andre Flo.
Right, okay.
Wanyama's mentioned in there in his Celtic days. Surely we're going to see Virgil van Dijk at some point, I would have thought. There we go, Virgil van Dijk in 13-14. Fraser Forster, Spurs goalkeeper. Andy Robertson, from his Dundee days.
Nandir Sifchi, was that how you pronounced his name? God, bloody hell, I haven't heard that name in ages.
Jason Denier, he was on loan from City, was it?
Yeah, Stefan Johansson, that's a very Scandinavian name.
More Swedish, I'd say.
Does sound more Swedish.
As is Mikael Lustig.
Now my question would be, would you recognise a Norwegian name if you didn't know the player?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a couple of surnames and probably some form of punctuation over a letter.
Over an O or a U.
Yeah, Christoph Ayer, for example, you're Danish. Football has taught me where people are from just because of a name.
Okay, all right.
If you've got someone who's maybe African with an apostrophe in the name, I'm betting you're from somewhere in kind of West Africa, be it Ivory Coast or Cameroon. I think that's fair.
Fair enough.
Just an assumption there. Oh, what about 2021? Okay.
Yeah.
Borna Barisic.
Do you know what? I've just gone past that, Borna Barisic, and I was thinking, that's definitely Czech Republic. Like, honestly, I literally, as you were talking about your West Africa names and stuff, I was like, Borna Barisic, that definitely sounds Czech Republic.
I think with the itch, I'm going to go for Croatian would be my guess. We can't click on him, because that isn't... So, we can, because he played for Rangers, actually.
Has he? Born at Rangers,
So I've got two options: Sasa Papac or Borna Barisic.
I want to go Sasa Papac. I think it's a bit more retro. Yeah. So I just need to find him again. What year was he?
Early. 07-08. Sasa Papac. In my head, he was kind of left, big, tall, slow, left-footed centre back is what I remember him as.
And you're saying Croatian?
No, that was for Bosna Barisic. This is what I thought Romanian.
We thought Romanian. All right, I don't have a memory of Sasa Papac, really, so I'm happy to click on him. Let's have a look.
Sasa Papac, born in 1980, is a Bosnian retired professional footballer, capped 39 times by Bosnia. Obviously, would have been born in Yugoslavia. Perhaps best known for his 6 years spent with Rangers. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Probably best known as that.
His football career started when Tore Andre Flo signed for Chelsea. When he signed for Rangers in 2000.
Yeah.
It's a very short career.
It is. With Sikroy Brieg, Carnton, Ostrovia, and then Rangers. I would have thought more varied, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I would have thought at least a spell in Italy.
That can't be his full, because judging by this, he had 1 year of professional football and made the Bosnia team. And then never stop playing. Something missing there.
It says in the early, Papa started his career with NK Seroki Brzeg in the Premier League of Bosnia-Herzegovina in 2000. He made 14 appearances, scoring once for the club, then moved to Austria. So he spent a couple of years in Austria and then went to Scotland. £450,000 signed for Scotland, signed for Rangers.
Wow. A bit of a checkered international career.
Oh, really?
Made his debut on the 12th of January 2001, but quit in March 2007, citing problems with the staff and the Bosnian FA. His last match of this stint was versus Greece before quitting the national team in October 2006. But in January 2008, he decided to return to the international setup because they had hired a new boss, Meho Kodro. However, shortly after Kodro's dismissal, he was called up again by new coach Miroslav Blazovic, but refused to come and then retired from international football again, claiming it was to give space to new young players. In 2010, it emerged that Papac could make a return to his national team, and in June 2011, the Glasgow newspaper The Herald reported Papac was returning to international football. He confirmed it and played for the international team in his final international friendly in February 2012 against Brazil.
Oh, what a lovely end to proceedings.
Yeah, do you reckon he was like, no, I can't come back, I can't come back. We've got a scheduled friendly against Brazil. Any chance you're available? Yeah, I can play. Yeah, I can play.
Just move some stuff around, actually. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
This is strangely similar to last week as well, actually. On 15th November 2017, Papac was announced as new director of football of, I'm going to try and pronounce it this time, Zeleznica Sarajevo.
Nailed it.
That was Mario Stanic's first club.
There you go.
From never hearing them, we've heard them twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, his career statistics section only has his 6 years at Rangers. And for all the will in the world, I'm not going to be able to find Austria Vienna and can't any more than that, I don't think.
No.
Have a look. FB Ref is sometimes good for it. I'll take an action to have a look at previous data, but I think it's going to be quite a
first action of season three, Josh, is a toughie. So,
yeah, it is. That's on Mario Jardel levels, that
is. That is. That really is. He did something that Tori Andrew Flo never did. Won a league. Won four of them. He won three Premier Leagues with Rangers and one Bundesliga in the Austrian Bundesliga with Austria Vienna. UEFA Cup runner-up. I don't remember Rangers being a runner-up in the UEFA Cup in 2008. I mean, they won the Scottish Cup, the Scottish League Cup, and were runners-up in the UEFA Cup, and then won the league the next year.
So, yeah, in 2007-08 season, Papac was a regular left-back and played in the Scottish Cup, League Cup, and UEFA Cup finals. He netted his first goal for Rangers. Unfortunately, I want the actual link to the finals so we can see the squads, because I feel like that link down below, if we're clicking that, would take us to the whole tournament in general, and I'm not sure we might have been there.
I agree. He's never scored for his country. No, never scored for his country. So we don't have a goal there.
Okay, so we can click on the 07-08 UEFA Cup if we want to. That'll take us to the same whole tournament. I'm not sure what was Tor Andre Flo doing 07-08. He was playing for Leeds, so...
We do have a link to the Scottish Premier League, where a Flo would probably be listed as the most expensive signing.
Yeah,
it's a bit direct, though, isn't it? It's a bit Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, I don't want to go route one on this. The 07-08 season, which would probably be the Rangers 07-08 season, is in the Rangers section.
Oh, no, I don't know if that works.
What about the Sahara Millennium Cup? I don't know, that's obviously a big trophy.
The Sahara, where's that?
His international career. He made his debut against Bangladesh. Not many people play against Bangladesh as a football nation.
No, and why are Bosnia playing Bangladesh?
Is it maybe because they're a newly formed country and they're just literally taking whatever games they can get?
Yeah, it could be. The only other thing I was looking at was potentially Walter Smith.
Yes, I've looked at Walter Smith as well, but I feel like that's going to be tediously boring.
Well, I think he's had quite a... Because at this time, when Tori Andre Flo would have signed for Rangers, Walter Smith, I think, would have been assistant to Sir Alex Ferguson at Man United.
What?
Yeah. In 2000,
he had that role?
In 2003, Walter Smith was assistant to Alex Ferguson at Man United, because I've got an 0304 database.
And
he's my assistant manager at Man United.
Okay, so we've got Walter Smith or the Sahara Millennium Cup as our options.
I mean,
the picture of Bosnia in his international career looks very much like a one-day international cricket side.
It really does. I mean, if there are two options, mate, I'm going to go for Sahara Millennium Cup because I love the obscure. So
thank you.
Right.
Oh, God. the Millennium Super the Millennium Super Soccer Cup, known as the Sahara Cup for sponsorship reasons, was an international football tournament held in India from the 10th to the 25th of January 2001. This is close to the nose. Yugoslavia were the eventual champions, defeating Bosnia in the final. That's a bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, Josh, the teams involved.
Cameroon didn't want to be part of it. They withdrew. So did Indonesia and Iraq. That's how bad you know it is. Iraq withdrew.
Japan, University 11. What?
Romania 11, Uruguay B, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Hong Kong, India, Jordan, Uzbekistan, Yugoslavia, Iceland, Bosnia, Chile are all their main sides, yes, but we have a Japan University 11, Uruguay B, and Romania 11. Okay, so we have some players. At least we've got some players scoring here, which we may know one or two.
I'm just laughing at the withdrew. Iraq withdrew on January 8th without citing reasons. I reckon they got a letter saying this tournament's a farce and we don't want to do it. So
Japan are sent in their University 11, you sure?
Yeah, because there's... Actually, Iraq withdrew without citing reasons. Cameroon withdrew without citing reasons. But Indonesia withdrew with reasons. We just don't know what they are. It doesn't state that they didn't do it without
reasons. Loads of people have withdrawn.
Bloody hell. Oh my God, the Japanese University 11 qualified from their group.
Right. And they've also got players with clickable links. So obviously it was a decent side.
Yeah, true. Must have been a good side.
I don't know any of them. But their clickable links in the goal scorers, a bit down here. Anyone we know in these goal scorers?
When was this tournament? What year?
2001.
Spot on.
Yeah, yeah, we've done good to get here.
Yeah, spot on age-wise. I mean, Ilic for Yugoslavia.
Sasa Ilic, that's a player, isn't it?
That's Sasa Ilic, isn't it, for 2001?
Yeah, he's down with the goal scorers, got his full name. Why do we know Sasa Ilic?
Striker, Lazio. I think it's Lazio.
Igor Duljaj, I've got a feeling I've signed him, football manager.
Daniel Pereira for Uruguay? Well, it's Uruguay B, so it's probably not the person I'm thinking of.
Uruguay, no, he's a clickable link.
Igor Duljaj, didn't you used to love him?
Yeah, that's what I've just mentioned.
Yeah, Fiorentina, you always signed him.
I feel like there's... My brain's getting messed with here. Like, do I know these players? Because we've got so many...
Part of me is like, Igor Duljaj would be a great click. But so I feel like Sasa Ilic would. Whether it is the Sasa Ilic... Can there be more than one Sasa Ilic that's played in
Sasa football? He's a Sasa Ilic, and he's also got a clickable link. It's got to be. So you go down to goal scorers. He was a joint top goal scorer of 3 goals.
How's he going to help us, though?
I don't know. I literally have no idea of his goal scoring past or his career.
Should we go for it? Or do you want to go for your signing that you always did in Igor?
Nah, let's go Sasa Ilic.
All right, Sasa Ilic. Although I have now clicked on it, so we can't go back. But I just saw there that Igor Duljaj scored in the final as well.
Well done to him.
Scored one of the winning goals. But there we go. So Sasa Ilic. Definitely not Lazio. Celta Vigo. That's where I know him from. Celta Vigo. Yeah.
Not Celtic Vigo. That's not Celtic Vigo. Is it?
Yeah, Celta Vigo. Current team, CSK Sofia, manager. Now I'm thinking, is there two Sasa Iliches?
He's got a good page. He's filled out a bit.
Yeah. He represented Serbia. That's where we know him from. Serbia and Montenegro at the World Cup, 2006 World Cup. Probably where we'll remember him from. Did he score in that competition?
You're asking me a lot of questions. I don't know the answer to.
He did. He scored against the Ivory Coast in Munich. That's probably where I remember him from. Right. This, Josh, from a quick overview, does not help us at all.
No, I'm looking down through clickable links. Have we got anything that links back to... I was trying to link back to Tierney, but I need to get to Flo and I don't quite know how.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things dropped in here. There's a lot of things dropped.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, he's won lots of stuff with Partizan.
So in his Partizan career, like Page, there's mentions of Ivan Tomic, Roma, Lazio, Porto, Madrid, Marseille, Newcastle, Santiago Bernabeu, Villarreal. and you at the UEFA Cup, CSK Moscow, and then in Galatasaray you also get mentioned like PSV and Liverpool, which doesn't really help us, but there's a lot of name drops and club drops.
Okay, so what about the UEFA Cup 07-08, was it, for Flo? Was it runners-up who you got?
In Super Cup 1998, UEFA Cup Winners' Cup 97-98.
That's not helpful.
No. Is there a... Oh, no, we can't use the Norway national team.
No. Well, he joined... remember the Lothar Matthäus episode? He decided to join the Austrian side at the insistence of Lothar Matthäus, as they previously successfully collaborated at Partizan. However, only a few days later, Matthäus was released by Salzburg.
I've got a potential link in that will help us.
Go on.
He scored, Sasarelic scored against Italy in the UEFA Euro 2004 qualification. And I'm going to suggest Tor André Flo would have played in that qualification period for Norway. And did he score? That's the we need him to score.
2004.
Flo played for Norway up until 2004. I've just realised it doesn't have Tor André Flo's goals for international period on his page. But that's the only way I can see us getting back towards Tor André Flo.
Feels fun. It feels like there should be a more direct link. Do you not feel? Who did Radi Antic manage? Was that Radomir Antic? Was that Portsmouth he was somewhere linked to?
Yeah, it could have been Portsmouth. Yeah, I don't know, Josh. I don't know where we go with this. He had a loan spell at Larissa. Weren't they a previous episode team? No, Saprissa. It was Saprissa that we clicked on in a previous episode. In the summer of 1998, after the departure of Ivan Tomic to Roma, Ilic became the team's captain. For Partizan. He was 20 years old at the time. With the new role on the pitch, Ilic was instrumental in helping Partizan win a national championship after a one-year absence. He also played in the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup, where Partizan were eliminated in the second round by Lazio, the eventual winners of the competition. The competition is a clickable link. Do you reckon that would be... What year was this? 98. It was the summer of 98 he became captain. So that would be the 98-99 Cup Winners' Cup for the next year, right?
Yes.
Which is not the one that Tor André Flo played in. It was 97-98.
No, but we did not have... It has at the top there previous year.
Oh, it could do, yeah.
Do we want to click on the Cup Winners' Cup?
We can click on the Cup Winners' Cup or we can click on the competition, which is highlighted.
I'd say the competition is going to be specific to the year, competition, and but the first one's going to be in general.
Okay. Which one would you prefer?
Let's go specific. Specific.
Click on the competition.
The competition.
All right.
That is the 98-99 UEFA Cup Winners' Cup. It's the last season of the competition before it was abolished. Lazio won against Mallorca to earn the only title of the competition. Chelsea were the defending champions, but were eliminated in the semi-finals by Mallorca. Okay, so it's not... So let's have a look at the semi-finals. Ooh. Do we get... Flo's mentioned!
Is he really?
Flo scored! Yeah, Flo scored on April, the 8th of April, 1999 against Mallorca. Oh, that's quite handy.
That is very nice. Because I was about to say, when you look at teams that are in it, Vallarargan was one of the teams.
And Vallarenga.
Chelsea and Vallarenga, two ex-Tor André Flo teams. But no need. Done.
Oh, some top goal scorers here. We've got some John Carew, Vallarenga's top goal scorer. Danny. Do you remember Danny? I think he used to have a little stint at Barcelona.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Pavel Nedved. Dejan Stankovic, Branko Strupar, one of the early episodes, Christian Vieri.
Oh, yeah. Alan Boxic.
Alan Boxic of Middlesbrough fame.
Yeah. Torian, as if we fluked that. That's incredible.
I know, that is quite lucky.
Branko Strupar, yeah, what a name that is.
Was that Derby he came to?
Yeah, Derby, Branko Strupar. Wow. Well, we've done it.
We've done it.
So, should we read a little bit more about this season's...
Yeah, so look at the season's competition. So, we have... Oh, it's a nice map. It's very varied. It's not... So, at the top there, the teams involved, it's got a lovely map of Europe, and we've got them from all over.
That is very... There are some obscure things there. Really are.
I've not heard of the top goal scorer. Have you, Alon Mizrahi? Don't know him.
No, don't know him. Is the Cup Winners' Cup... It's not a thing anymore, is it, the Cup Winners' Cup?
No, it was abolished. This is the last one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, you said that, yeah. That's a shame.
So was it... I'm not even quite sure the qualification element was. Is it if you won...
It was your domestic cup, wasn't it, I think? Yeah, I think it was the FA Cup that got you into it. Although, didn't we just come from Sasa Ilic and it said because Partizan won the league, they qualified for the Cup Winners' Cup? Maybe it was a coefficient thing.
No, he also played in the Cup Winners' Cup where Partizan were eliminated.
Yeah,
because there's only one team from each nation. That's why it's nice and varied, I suppose.
No, it's not. Because Chelsea and Newcastle from England.
Oh, because they must have won the League Cup?
I don't know. I feel like we have to do
more.
We
should have clicked on the main competition.
That can be the starting point for next week's episode.
We've got to click on that. Two abolished cups.
Oh. Well, been abolished.
Intertoto.
The milk. No, that's Fairs, the League Cup, isn't it?
Fairs Cup or something called?
Yeah, the Fairs Cup. There's the Anglo-Italia Cup.
We've mentioned one. We've got two abolished cups in this episode, actually. The Millennium Super Soccer Cup.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. That's next episode sorted, then. From one abolished cup to the other. I like that.
One abolished cup to the other.
Yeah. I mean, there isn't. Okay. There's a lot of detail on this page, but not a lot of words.
No,
yeah.
There's nothing to really add flavour to what this episode is, really.
So, yeah. Interesting. When did Newcastle get knocked out? I'm interested to know that.
So they lost to Partizan in the first round.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Shearer and Dabazas scored, with Rasovic scoring a penalty, which would prove vital because they lost the away leg with Rasovic scored a penalty in the second leg as well to put them out. That's a bit unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got a bit of a flashback. I've just stopped the page randomly on and looked at some scores. Chelsea 1, Copenhagen 1. And the goal scorer for Copenhagen was Goldbeck. Did he play for Chelsea at one point?
Bjarne Goldbeck. I think he did the West London double.
Chelsea Fulham.
I think he's done a Chelsea Fulham double.
The Putney double. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, Lazio. Marcelo Salas. Oh.
Nice. Lazio had such a good side.
Yeah. Laudrup for Chelsea.
Sergio Conceição. Oh. He's a decent manager now, Sergio Conceição, I've got a feeling.
I think he is, yeah. I think he is a manager. Excellent. Shall we click through to Tore André Flo?
Let's click through to Tore André Flo. There he is, in 6'4" glory, taller than Christian Daly.
He is.
This was a great train robbery themed episode. Glasgow, London. We started with Kieran Tierney, who's the most expensive transfer from Glasgow to London, as Arsenal bought him for £25 million. He has been named in three Scotland Team of Years, PFA Team of Years, and that opened up a treasure trove of players, and we were somewhat enthralled by the potential intrigue of Sasa Papac. What was he? Was he Romanian? No, he was Bosnian. And he made his debut for Bosnia at the Sahara Millennium Cup, which was a one-time thing for such illustrious sides as Japan 11 and Uruguay B. But the top scorer at the tournament and eventual winners, I think it was Sasa Ilic was top goal scorer for Yugoslavia. And he went on to play for Partizan, and who appeared in the Cup Winners' Cup. And we know that Tore André Flo had a little flurry in the Cup Winners' Cup, and we've clicked on that. It's 98-99 season, the year after Chelsea won it. But not to worry, Chelsea got to the semi-finals with Flo scoring a equalising goal in the first leg. Therefore, we can click on him through to Tore André Flo, the most expensive signing into the Scottish Premier League for Rangers, around £12
million. Lovely summary. I'm intrigued to know how if we were doing it by country. So we've gone we've gone Glasgow to London, because Kieran Tierney, right? And then we clicked out of Tierney and we went back to Scotland for the team of the year. Then we went out of Scotland and went to Bosnia.
Yep.
Went from Bosnia to India because of the competition.
Yeah, we went to the Sahara Cup India. Yeah.
India to Yugoslavia. Yeah. For Sasa Ilic. And then we went from Ilic to Europe.
Yes, just Europe in general. And then to Norway.
Yeah. Then to Norway with Tore André Flo. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Well, it brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you so much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for pages, starts, finishes, journeys that you'd like us to do, or even if there's a moment in history that you'd like us to try and get a journey going through Wikipedia relating to football. You can find us on Twitter at Wiki Wanderers and on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. But for now, we'll say goodbye and see you next week.